Hi, it's Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam. We are a Whosoever Will podcast and a Whosoever Will channel. Why? Because God is a Whosoever Will God. Today, I'm just going to share with you, I think rather quickly, about the counterintuitive nature of obedience, of why God tells us to do what we do. We're going to hop right into that. Because part of our challenge is we don't obey God because we are the toddlers, we are the teenagers, we are those individuals who are coming into our own in the sense of what the world has taught us and conditioned us to believe. And so we think that because we can't see it, we can't control it, we can't touch it, taste it, smell it, see it, hear it, that it doesn't exist. And so we don't see God functioning in a way that we can relate to. I mean, let's be honest. God is bigger than who we are. And yet at the same time, we exalt him and bring him down all at the same time. But the things that he tells us to do, we generally, because of where we are and how we think and what we look at, we generally think that he is depriving us of something. And so anytime we're told, most any time, I mean, until we get to a place of maturity and understanding, most any time we're told not to do something, what is the human psyche or the human ego going to do? It's going to go do it. Why? Because nobody tells us what to do. The irony of that is that God gave us the power of free choice. So the thing that we use to do that is what he gave us. Right? Let me say it again. The thing that we use to disobey is what he gave us to make choices, free choice, the ability to choose. Now, ego is a whole other thing together. Ego is fashioned after the human spirit. It's the human condition. Ego is the thing that tells us that we can do whatever we want, that because we can choose. Now, mind you, God gave us the capacity to choose. But ego is what tells us that because we can choose, we can do whatever we want. And the truth is, we can. But that doesn't mean that God didn't mean what he said and doesn't still hold us accountable for those things. So because of how we've been taught, because of how particularly in the Christian religion, because of those things, when someone says, and because of hypocrisy, to be honest with you, because of hypocrisy and a number of other things, but even if there weren't such a thing, okay, think about the toddler, think about the teenager. At some point, we come to a point in our process where it's just like, well, I can do what I want to do. You don't know anything. I know everything. And that's how we treat God. You don't know anything. We know everything. And no, I don't know every intricacy of how that growth process works for us individually or collectively. I'm not trying to know that. But I know enough about it from my own experience and from what others have shared with me, what I've observed, to know that that's the case. The human process is fashioned after the spiritual process. So if you have a toddler at 2 saying no, when you haven't necessarily provided the context for them to say no, then you know something is going on before. And the first thing we say is, where did they learn that? Well, they learned that because they came with it. 2 is around the age when it starts to blossom. The power to choose. The power to say no. That's when the personality develops and we begin to see these things blossom. And it happens generally in every instance. Same thing with teenagers. You can raise them from the moment they come out of the womb. And at some point they're going to hit most. I don't know if that's the case because I don't know how many. But at any rate, I'm going to say most. They're going to hit an age where it's like, you don't know anything. You don't know anything about me. And that's, in some ways, that might be true because they're finding out about themselves as much as we're finding out about them. Now, because we are, you know, parents, guardians, those support systems, those individuals of support in their lives, then, of course, there are going to be things and patterns that we know. But the fact of the matter is because they are still growing, we can't know everything about them. We can see patterns. We can see patterns not just in them, but patterns from when we were growing up that we can apply to them and sometimes then project onto them, which is sometimes a lot of times what happens. Just because we did it doesn't mean they have to do it, particularly if it's a bad thing. We don't want them repeating the mistakes. When the thing gets to you, it's supposed to stop. Why? Because we're supposed to fellowship with God. We're supposed to submit ourselves. We're supposed to repent. We're supposed to do the things that cut off the generation from any more trauma or drama around specific things. But we don't do that. Why? Because we say this is just how it is. This is just the way it is. But God is faithful who promised. So he tells us, we want to exact revenge, he says, forgive. See, and because of where we are, how we've been conditioned, and how we've seen things unfold over the years, over the ages, we say that's a weak position. And he's saying, no, the weakest position is being enslaved to your flesh. The weakest position is letting your flesh rule over you. That's what he's telling us. The weakest position is not being led of my spirit. The weakest position is exactly what you're doing. It's counterintuitive. What we would say is counterintuitive, when in fact it's supposed to be intuitive, and that's what he's trying to get us back to. We want to exact revenge. He says forgive. We want to hate or fear. He says love. And because of how we use these terms, the connections and the context in which we are taught those terms, then we think it's a weaker position, when in fact he's saying, I need you to do the opposite, because that's the only way you can back out of this situation. That's the only way that's going to heal you. That's the only thing that's going to restore you. We see it as him depriving us. Don't do this, do that. And we think it's him putting us down. We think it's God telling us, well, you don't know any better. Well, the fact of the matter is we don't. He says, he's already told us, his ways are higher than our ways. But we don't like that. Ego doesn't like that. So when we're governed by ego, we're going to lose every time. And it may look like we're winning for a minute, but God is after the eternal. He wants us to be able to function in the temporal, in the temporary. But at the end of the day, this is about, we're in manifested eternity right now. Time is manifested eternity. We can see it. We can interact with it. But the question is, what are we doing here? What are we doing while we're here that sets us up for eternity, if that's what we believe? Everybody doesn't believe in it. I get that. So that's not who I'm speaking to right now. Everybody can, but everybody doesn't. That's the reality. God gave us the capacity for that. That's not what we're here to, that's, it's not our job to control that. It's our job to get ourselves together based on what we believe. So I just want to share that with you, because so many things have come out of so many different places about what God is doing, what he isn't doing, who he is, what he isn't. Let's just say this. You will do what you believe. You have been, you have always done what you believe, and you will continue to do what you believe. The question is, what do you believe? The things that God tells us, we don't even like the word obey anymore. We don't like the word obey or submit. And the funny thing about it is, it's not that those aren't valid words. When they're handled properly, they serve us the best. It's not that we don't like the word, dislike the word obey or submit. It's that we don't like the abuse of people that say, tell us to obey and tell us to submit, because we either see the hypocrisy or the abuse that comes out of that. It's not that the words themselves are invalid. It's just like money. Money takes on, money is not a, is an inanimate object, but it's just like the principles of the Bible. They take on the nature of the person that's delivering them. So if the person delivering the message is judgmental, what are you going to get? Judgmentalism, not judgment, accountability, not the love of God, not the unconditional love of God. He says he loves you unconditionally. He never says that he's not going to hold us accountable. He never says that. But we like to make each other feel bad about our own existence, when in fact God put us here because he has a reason for all of us to exist. It's just a matter of pivoting out of cursing into blessing. It is a matter of understanding what it is you truly believe and what effort you are willing to take to line yourself up with that. But we've got to stop playing the game of saying we believe God, when in fact I can look at you and tell whether you do or not. I can watch how you treat somebody in public and in private. can look at the consistency in people's lives. You can listen to what they say. You can hear what spirit is riding on their voice, on their tone of voice. We need to check ourselves so we don't have to worry about being checked. But God tells us the thing that is for our good. We want to get the goods. He's saying, no, everything I'm telling you is for your good. He causes all things to work together for our good, for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this anymore, I don't think anyway, than I've already spent. But we've got to understand that this is how we think about things is the problem. We go around all day saying, have your mind renewed, or have be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's not what he says. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's not something that we can do. No book is going to do it for you. No person is going to do it for you unless it's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's just like the whole spiritual process. The renewal of the mind comes with repentance and submission and all of those things. It's not about reading different books. It's about understanding the spirit that you operate in. And is that spirit the spirit of God? Because he is the only one that can renew us in the spirit of our minds. So, yes, the way we first see it, when God first tells us to obey, I've shared these stories before. When God first tells us to obey, if we are really paying attention and if we are really being honest and authentic with ourselves and therefore with God and others, then when God tells you to obey, the first response is going to be, what? Why? Because the flesh is going to resist it. The flesh, the spirit of flesh, the flesh within us, is always at odds with God. And that's what he tells us. He says, you need to be a living sacrifice. Why does he tell us that? Because if we're not burning flesh, figuratively, not literally, if we don't have ourselves on the altar, meaning I am going to give up what I want to do, take revenge, be angry, walk in hate, try to deny someone else something that I want for myself. If we don't put those things on the altar, then we can't walk with him. So that's why he says, how can you say you love me and hate your brother or your sister, your neighbor? That's a question. It's rhetorical. He's telling us by asking the question that it's impossible. He's telling us that those two don't vibe. Why? He says, that's not how I operate. You can't love me or say you love me, and then this is how you act. Because if you love me, it's going to take care of all of that. Spiritual principles, basic spiritual principles. So understand that. Understand that it's going to feel counterintuitive. That doesn't mean it's wrong. Some of the things we do feel natural, and God's already told us that they're wrong. We got to get it, because this is setting us up for eternity. It's not setting us up for life here, although it will impact and influence life here on earth. Anyway. I love you. I agape you. I bless you and the entirety of your household. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. And I certainly appreciate you giving part of your time to listen to me today. This is Michelle. Thank you for joining me for Daily Bread with Jam. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.